Dharma is something you learn and have to practice. What our masters taught us, or what we learn from the scriptures, it is meant for us to practice. Are not meant to be just for the exams. There are two parts, the morality and the procedure to practice. We practice with the purpose to be free from suffering. The information in the morality part, you do not just memorize it for the exam, is mostly compiled in Novice's Guide, a book for the novitiate in the Buddhist priesthood. But you need to practice. As we are in an organization, we have to find a way to live together harmoniously. There are quite a number of dhammas, like Dharma, which teaches how people live together in unity. There are also many other dhammas that guide us what our duties towards our parents, our families, our friends and colleagues are. There are dhammas for all, but not practice. However, there is no benefit if you just learn all these, if you only memorize the lessons and take the exam. You'll soon forget, as Lord Buddha's teachings are all meant for practicing. Whether you wish to live happily in the world or wish to be released from the world, there are dharma for both as long as you practice. Once I met with one master, known as Luangpu Mahakiyan, who resided at Rangsi Pa Liwen Temple in Gala Sin Province. I had heard that Luangpu was the disciple of Luangpu Mon and a younger brother of Master Mahapin. I headed to see him, wishing to learn Dharma from him. He told me that he had tried to memorize all the Lord Buddha's teachings. Luangpu had graduated Poly 9, the highest level of Buddhist Dharma. In the beginning, Luangpu Mon had invited him to go practice Dharma, but he denied, as his goal was to learn all Buddhist teachings first. He wanted to study, practice and accomplish. Luangpu Mahakiyan then went on to study and finally graduated Poly 9 and became the abbot at one of the royal monasteries. Then Master Mahapin called on him to make good on the promise he made that he would go back to practice after graduation. And so he did, and became an expert in both the Buddhist teaching and practice. On the day I went to see Luangpu Mahakiyan, he mentioned to me that he wondered how Venerable Ananda could memorize all the Lord Buddha's teachings. There were numberless of them. He then tried to prove this by memorizing all the Lord Buddha's teachings as appeared in the three baskets, Buddha teachings divided into three parts. When I went to see him, Luangpu Mahakiyan had already memorized more than half. Then Luangpu Mahakiyan had concluded that the Lord Buddha's Dharma are all meant for practicing. There are dhammas for living the world in happiness, in peace and in tranquility. Likewise, there are dhammas which release one from the world. But no matter which direction you aim towards, you have to practice. Therefore, as Luangpu Mahakiyan mentioned, all dharma of Lord Buddha are meant for practicing. I myself am not as knowledgeable as Luangpu. Luangpu Mahakiyan mentioned, all dharma of Lord Buddha are meant for practicing. For that reason, you all who have heard and learned Dharma have to be hands-on and practice. Some study Dharma in order to be disconnected from the world. However, while we are still laymen, it would make sense to learn Dharma for living in the world. Otherwise, it would mean we have not completed our job. For example, we are entitled to take care of our parents, our spouse and our children. We cannot just say we no longer want to take care of them, but rather practice, so we can be free from suffering. That is not right. While we are still laymen, we have to perform our duties, as well as to practice the way we are supposed to. Please look for a book titled Novice's Guide. It is a book which portrays Dharma, or principle of living in the society for laymen, composed by His Majesty, Wachi La Yan Varo Rod. This book is meant for all monks to study, as in the old time, all men ordained as monks. While being a monk and studying novice's guide, a man then learned Dharma that he could later apply in daily life as well as in an organization. The way to live in peace and in harmony with others is taught thoroughly in this book. You should go check it out. It is hard to just focus on Dharma that releases you from the world and neglect basic Dharma. There are a number of women who came to confide with the nun that they wanted to practice Dharma and do not want the husbands to touch them. They felt it would be a stigma. Soon the husbands went out to find other women. This is like gearing oneself towards disconnecting from the world while still not ready. Therefore, you must be cautious and realize your position. While you are still a layman, do what is right for being a layman. In brief, dhammas for a layman are charity, observing the precepts and practicing. These are the general ideas. There are details to these ideas. As your money and belongings are gone from giving them away, like charity you're giving, it consists of three stages. First, you have to have faith in giving. Second, you have to feel delighted while giving. Lastly, you have to be content after giving. If you feel sad, then your mind will be depressed. If you feel so zealous to make merit, but later feel sad that your money's all gone, then your mind becomes sad. Or sometimes you practice only partially. For example, you have so many meritorious activities, like offering robes and other needs to Buddhist monks, presenting robes to monks at the end of Buddhist Lent, always busy with so many meritable activities. Yet, later you realize your mind is so distracted and shattered. What you have practiced, be it praying or walking meditation, all go down the drain. Hence, when making merit, beware that your mind is not in a mournful stage. If before and during making merit, your mind is in virtue, but after your mind becomes sad, then the merit is not complete. It is just a fragmentary merit. It is not complete in three stages, which are before, during and after making merit. This kind of merit is only substandard. In Buddhist reference book, it is clearly stated that if you make merit and later you feel dejected, you may end up being born a disabled human. I say this without meaning to oppress or bully those who are disabled. I just quote this from the book. Nevertheless, I could not verify this as I do not have such intuition to know how all living creatures evolve. It is all clearly stated in the treatise that before making merit, be joyful, during making merit, be merry. Should one feel sad after making merit, then the merit becomes minute. If there are no other outstanding merits during the time one passes away, then this small merit could yield a disablement. For that reason, when making merit, no matter what good deeds, do not feel distressed afterwards. Sometimes we make merit while our friend does not participate. Sometimes, our friends are so dedicated to practicing. Sometimes, it happens that you and your friend have started practicing at the same time. Yet, as time goes by, your friend has progressed while you are still the same. Then your mind becomes sorrowful. Therefore, be mindful. I keep exhorting you as I do not want to see you go downhill. Being good, but not completely, will just translate into merit adulterated with harm. Observing the precepts means having a strong will to refrain from five physical and verbal malignant. Observing five precepts is sufficient. Some people try to observe eight precepts while they are still in marriage. A woman then does not allow her partner to touch her, which is not appropriate, and causes her to feel sad. Soon, the husband sees another woman. Thus, observing precepts that are reasonable with yourself. It is all right to keep 8 precepts, but not always. Occasionally, for instance, observing 8 precepts on your birthday or once a week. This is good enough. If you try to observe 8 precepts all the time, such as working very hard and not having enough meals, then you have dyspepsia and it leads to family problems. Therefore, be reasonable in observing precepts as well as in giving. Another thing is practicing Dharma. Practicing Dharma does not only mean chanting Putto, Putto. Practicing Dharma means to be prospered. When we are determined to observe the precepts, and we succeed and become more prosperous, that is the concept of practicing Dharma. Some misunderstand that practicing Dharma is merely sitting or walking meditation only. That is not the case. When you practice sitting meditation, if you are still not capable of deep meditation, you should be cautious if not practicing under supervision of your master. Otherwise, it could be harmful, as there could be a pitfall and some may experience a mental image or vision such as seeing oneself turned into a skeleton. Some see ghosts and feel scared. There actually are no ghosts. It is your mind playing tricks, and when it happens, you cannot distinguish between the real thing and the artificial one. Then you could flip out and become eccentric. The easy way to practice safely is to pray. It could be a long one or a short version of chanting like Putto Tummo Sanko. Whenever you have some free time, you can just keep chanting Putto Tummo Sanko. This is just right and safe. If you keep on chanting, it is rather safe and the chance to have a mental image is quite slim. However, should you prefer to seriously practice, like mindfulness with breathing, it could be a bit reckless. You might wonder how this could be reckless. I have experienced that before. I walked in the wrong direction, but fortunately I was able to turn back. When you start meditation, you can practice breathing. Your breathing will be deep and long. At first, you inhale put, then you exhale to. The breathing is long and it runs down to your lower belly. Then your mind becomes at peace. Your breathing becomes more and more shallow and it stops at the tip of your nose. Then the breath turns into light. When you see the light and without the presence and the guidance of your master, your mind sinks into the light. Then curiosity takes over and your mind wanders into different directions. Now you can see it all, be it mental image, heaven or ghost. You cannot really tell if those are real or your mind is playing tricks. While you are joyful, your mind moves away from yourself and wanders around. Every time you start to practice, your mind wanders around to see this and that. If you keep practicing until your mind gets to its base and not wandering around, then it is not a problem. There once was an enlightened one. Since before he turned enlightened one, he used to always have his mind wandering around. He would look at a dead animal and see how the animal was reborn. When our friends pass away, we tend to want to find out how they reincarnated. Our family members or our parents pass away, we tend to want to find out how they reincarnated. The mind becomes curious. This enlightened one, when he reached the first level of Dharma, as known as Venerable Honorut, he then went on and had his mind wander around. Luckily, during that era, Lord Buddha was still around. There were also many masters and many enlightened ones. As Venerable Honorut obtained supreme virtues, unlike him, should we play around and let our minds wander like that, we would be in trouble. Even he went on and had his mind wandering around, he had an inkling why he still could not attain arahantship.
Venerable Onuruddha then asked Venerable Sariputta, "I am clairvoyant. I possess a second sight that is superior to those superhumans of angels. I can see the elements in the whole world come to existence and perish in a flash. How come I cannot attain arahantship?"
Remember the question Venerable Onuruddha asked. He affirmed that he possessed a second sight that was superior to those superhumans and angels. He could see the elements and the whole world come to existence and perish in a flash. All things in the world are images and names. Venerable Onuruddha could see thousands of images, and names came into existence and perished in a very sudden manner. He could spot a man who passed and could tell where the deceased went. He could tell straight away. So he wondered why he could not become an enlightened one. This was a result of his retrospection. When he got retrospection from meditation, he could witness a proportion and a light which led him to see and to know about things. If we base this event upon Wang Pudun's teaching, it would be that Venerable Onuruddha's mind wanders away from his own self. Venerable Sariputta, however, due to his great wisdom, could clarify to Venerable Onuruddha that the way Venerable Onuruddha declared that he possessed a special ability that was superior to those other humans and angels was from his own ego. This is one of his defilements. Venerable Onuruddha could not see his own ego, while he could spot the whole elements in the world came into existence and perished in a sudden. That was his own distraction. The second defilement that he could not see was the distraction. To answer the question why Venerable Onuruddha could not become an enlightened one, that was due to his ego and distraction. Venerable Sariputta then pinpointed that the question Venerable Onuruddha asked could be digested into three defilements. I possess a second sight that was superior to those superhumans and angels. That's the ego. I could spot all the elements in the world that came into existence and perished all in a sudden. That's a distraction. You only see outside matters, not your own self. Why could I not become an enlightened one? That's your frustration. Like all of you practice by sitting or walking meditation for a while, then you become frustrated. Heck, how come I cannot make progress? You become so disappointed. That is because you cannot see your own defilement. This is harmful as you practice meditation, and then your mind wanders around to see things outside self. Unlike Venerable Onuruddha, he possessed complete charisma, so he could resolve this and achieve arahantship. When Venerable Onuruddha achieved arahantship, his basis dharma is seeing all the elements in the universe. No one could ever doubt him since then, as his mind was at its base and not wandering around. His mind became one with emptiness, and there was no more movement. He then achieved supremacy in a clairvoyance, and he was recognized by Lord Buddha as one with superior second sight to all. Having a second sight does not mean being able to see something extraordinary. It merely means being able to see the rebirth of life. It is not beneficial to be able to tell what is in the closed box. It is the ability to know the birth and the death of all creatures, and how life evolves and reborn due to its karma. When you can understand this, your mind will no longer be distracted while practicing. That is the reason why I keep telling you. As you are not around your masters, and nowadays, it is also quite rare to find and to be near masters who keep you safe. Therefore, I keep stressing on the cornerstone of practicing. During practicing, if you experience a light, do not follow it. Following the light will bring about a premonition, which could be true or not.
Sometimes it can be true in the beginning and later just your own desires, which are unreal. There was once a master whose name was Venerable Tongin. He was the most senior disciple of Luangpu Sim. He later on became the abbot of Sanditon Temple in Chiang Mai, located near Champyok Gate. I am very accustomed to him, we could discuss Dharma well. He could see the mind make its part out and glow into light. I also see the same thing, so we understand each other. Master Tongin told me the story during the time he first went on a pilgrimage after he left Luangpu Sim. He would meditate in the cave all alone. In the morning, when he went to receive food offered from the villagers, they always asked him if he could see the winning lottery numbers or dream about those numbers. He did not really see those numbers, but his mind became distraught. Then he could see the numbers in his meditation. He saw a six-digit number, not just two or three digits, but all six. During that time, the lottery had six digits, not seven. But later, it turned back to six digits again. I never bought a lottery, as I know it is a probability game, and the chance to lose is far more than a chance to win. When Master Tongin told the villagers that he saw a six-digit number, they all laughed at him. They thought this monk knew nothing, as normally they expected only two or three digits. Later the lottery result came out, and those six digits account for first prize. The villagers became overexcited. They missed the opportunity, so they kept asking him for the numbers. Then Master Tongin saw another six-digit number, and this time, the whole village won the lottery. The lottery dealer became upset and thought about getting rid of Master Tongin. Then more villagers came, and this time, those from other villages also joined. Master Tongin told me at that time he was in high spirits. He was prideful that he could see the exact winning numbers. Then the third time, and the dealer was ready to eliminate him, when all the villagers bet all in. It happened that all the numbers he saw were false. When all the villagers were about to tackle him, Master Tongin went back to see Luangpu Sim. Luangpu was cross and Master Tongin was reprimanded for his action. Master Tongin told me many good stories. Once there was an incident not related to Dharma. Like the story I told about lotteries. Never trust the prognostication. When it happens, just know it and disregard it. Master Tongin was on a pilgrimage to the woods. Once during the time, he was still a young fellow. Then his mind craved lust. He could not help it. It was the hormone pumping which caused the mind to crave for lust. He had a vision of a beautiful woman. Then that beautiful woman turned into a ghost. Actually, that was a ghost who wanted to strangle him. He was petrified and was unable to eliminate it even when he tried to pray. The ghost kept strangling him harder and harder. So he thought about Luangpu Sim. Luangpu, help me please. Then he imagined Luangpu meditating and floating in the air towards him. The ghost then disappeared. He rushed back to see Luangpu Sim and was yelled at. How come you went on practicing and not supervising your own mind? You were lucky the ghost did not strangle you to death. Should you let this happen again? I will let the ghost finish you. Luangpu Sim was a master in this area. He knew about having a vision and was very good at meditation as well. When there is a lustful desire, practicing meditation alone may not help. What can eliminate lustful desires is wisdom. Wisdom can really exterminate all defilements. Wisdom is the ability to see the truth. It is not about ingeniousness, like being an expert in physics and so forth. In Buddhism, that is not wisdom. Great wisdom stems from practicing insight meditation. By keep knowing the truth about your body and the truth about your mind, you will eventually see the five aggregates, which are the form, sensations, perceptions, fabrication, and consciousness of sensations through your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. All the five aggregations are impermanent, suffering and non-self. This is the principal wisdom. If you keep on practicing, it sets you free from suffering. When we keep practicing, the mind can see clearly that self or body is suffering. The mind will lose faith in the body. Like when you are still a young fellow. You have active sex hormones even when you already have achieved the third level of Dharma. Sometimes you can feel lust. Still, your mind can see that the body has no essence. For the mental part, your mind has the insight wisdom to tell whether the mind is desiring, the mind is suffering and so on. The mind is not desiring, the mind is not suffering and so on. Then when you feel lust and your mind has the appetite to follow the lust, your mind then sees the suffering. Once the mind sees the suffering, the lust then fades away. No more lust. It only flows through and then fades away completely. This is wisdom. However, if you feel lust and you cogitate on things that are unpleasant so that the lust disappears, that is not wisdom. It is merely a meditation for calmness. If this is wisdom, when the lust arises, it cannot be in existence. Where can lust or desire exist? It exists in the self, which are the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. When the wisdom is absolute, it detaches itself from the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. Then there is no place for them to hold on to. Same applies to when the lust arises, and there is no place for lust to hold on to. Then it is just extinguished. No need to cogitate on things that are unpleasant. If you still need to do that, it means the lust does not fade away naturally. You still need to amend your mind. If the wisdom is absolute, then there is no need to mend anything. Whatever happens, it's just distinguished right there. Therefore, when you practice, if you use your body as a home base, then you will see that your body is suffering and is not self. Then you will leave it alone. If you use your mind as a home base and keep seeing your mind, when you reach this point, you will see your mind craving, possessing and suffering. You will also see your mind not craving, not possessing and not suffering. When you see all these, the result is the same, which is breaking free from suffering. The mind is free from lust and anger as it sees and understands the predicament. When you hear people say, the mind is craving, the mind is possessing, the mind is suffering, the mind is not craving, the mind is not possessing, the mind is not suffering, do not felicitate them just yet. Don't assume that one who can say this is an enlightened one, as that person still sees that the mind has two conditions, which are suffering and not suffering. That means the person has not deeply understood Dharma. If the person deeply understands Dharma, he or she will know that the mind is in agony. There is no such thing as suffering and not suffering minds. Dharma has sequence of phases. You have to keep observing each phase in order to gradually progress. For laymen, I recommend that you chant Putto, Tommo, Somko. Just keep chanting. When lust arises sharply, consider the things that are decayed and spoiled, such as a rotten corpse. This way it is not too dangerous. However, there could be one menacing step, which I should tell you guys, so that when you go out to practice without a master to guide you, you won't be in trouble. When you consider the rotten corpse, sometimes you see something really ghastly, like seeing yourself decomposed, like seeing a ghost or something. then you are frightened. Just know that it is a mental image. When this happens, just look into your own mind. Your mind is frightened. Know that it is frightened. Remember this well. Your mind is frightened. Just know that it is frightened. Or when you do sitting meditation, if you experience the light, then you spot an angel and feel pleased, just know that your mind is pleased. Do not disregard yourself. If you disregard your own mind, that is considered the most dangerous thing. You can become insane. Therefore, never disregard yourself, and you will not make a mistake. Again, be smart when you donate, and never feel sorry later on. Observe the precepts. Be willing to keep yourself away from bad deeds that fit with your lifestyle. Observing 8 precepts only occasionally, as you still have to live in the world. Practicing in forms that are not harmful, like chanting Putto, Tommo, Sonko. Keep chanting as it can do no harm and will not cause a mental image. Or you can bring about mercy, so you can reach a fixed concentration, but not through virtual temper. For example, you make good wishes towards all by chanting Maitar Kunang, Ara Hank Maitar. Maitar Kunang, Ara Hank Maitar. Just keep chanting until it results in a stable and natural mind. The mind will bypass the light and enter the stage of calm, an exquisite phenomena and above. This stage is not too dangerous. However, you still have to be aware as danger can follow. This is like walking on the verge of a deep space. If you keep walking along your master's footsteps, even the path is vicious, but you are still fine. If there is no one to lead you, then there is a chance that you will make a wrong step. So, be careful. I try to pinpoint the fragility, so you can watch out especially for the visuals, which can happen in the forms of image, voice, scent, taste, physical contact. It can also happen in the form of mental awareness, all through 6 sense doors. Visuals can be a mental image. I myself experienced that during the time I was a monk at Chun Prothom Rangsar Rit Temple. At that time I was assiduous in meditation practice. The master there taught us to focus on abdominal inflating and deflating. However, I did not follow that method, as I was more accustomed to breathing in chanting put, breathing out chanting toe. I kept going with put toe until my body ached so much. I tried to be patient. Then the pain grew stronger, and so I switched from sitting cross-legged to stretching my legs out and sat back to relax my posture a bit. Then I experienced a mental image that a guy walked over to me and raised his hand to pay respect. Then he started massaging my legs. During that time, I was still meditating with my eyes closed. Yet, I could feel someone massaging my legs, and when he pressed his thumb on my aching leg, I opened my eyes and could see an impression of his thumb, which caused an indentation on my leg. Then he went on to press for about 40 seconds. Once he released his thumb, the aching pain was gone, as well as the leg cramps. I wondered if an angel had given me a massage. But then I just ignored it, and I guess that was also another mental image. Visuals can happen in many forms. Sometimes it can be a mental image that affects the body. Sometimes you sit and experience hot or cold flush, or feel the wind blow right at you. Or you feel some ants crawling on your skin. These are all mental images. Like when you meditate and all of a sudden you feel itchy all over, like some ants crawling on your skin. These are mostly the results of former karma of killing some animals, and are mostly a small retribution from the past. The bigger ones may have yielded its karma results earlier. Sometimes it comes in the form of voice, either real or unreal, If your mind is still full of defilements, do not believe in those voices, as they are more likely unreal. On the other hand, if the defilement is scanty, then it is more likely that the voices are real. And if there's no more defilement, then the voice is real and does not frighten your mind. Mental visuals also appear in the form of images, voice or scent. You may smell the scent of flowers from the running water while you are showering. Or you may smell the stench of corpses from your body. That is also mentally visual. Mental visuals can also arise in the form of taste. When you eat and feel an exceptional taste, like the angel has elaborately seasoned your food, that is just visual and more like you being lost and going off track. So, remember that visuals can also be in the form of good taste. Mental visuals in the forms of image, voice, scent, physical contacts, or mental images, like seeing this and that. Try not to believe in those visuals. Hold on to the principle that all these visuals, even if they are real, are not beneficial to you. They are more likely unreal. Like when you have a visual that this woman was your wife from the past life, that basically is your defilement playing tricks. Many practitioners have fallen apart from a phantasm that this woman was once my wife, this kid was my child, this person was this or that, all connected and related. For one you do not like, he or she used to be your enemy from the past life. All these are unlikely real and could be just hallucinations. As a result, do not believe in all visuals, but rather look back into your own mind. Hold on to the principle and see your own mind. If you experience an unusually elaborate taste and you feel happy, just know that you are happy. You wonder what is happening, just know that you are wondering. Just reflect back into your own mind and you are safe. Do you remember the principle? Just go on practicing, and if you experience a visual, disregard it whether it is real or not. Nevertheless, reflect your own mind, and those mental images will all be gone. During the time you practice sitting meditation, if you see lots of angels showing up, do not focus your mind on those angels. Just look back into your own mind. Your mind then wonders whether those angels are real. If you can reflect back into your mind, and then look out again, this is the art of practicing. If those visuals are unreal, then they will all be gone the moment you reflect back into your own mind. Therefore, whenever you feel the mental visual, look back into your mind. Then if you wish to see the outside, you can look back out. The real object will still be there while the counterfeit one will disappear. However, all these are pointless. What benefit do you get even if there is an angel coming for real? All you get is an ego. You are great. You are awesome. Even an angel pays respect to you. All of these are defilements. For that reason, do not be entertained by those mental visuals. Whatever takes place, just reflect your own mind. I give you broad and important principles. You just have to put it into practice. It is pointless if you learn Dharma, but not practice. Just by acquiring knowledge, you only get more defilement. You not only cannot save yourself, but will moreover oppress others. You may do a meritable thing like giving to others. Yet, giving is not like paying. Giving is more like condoning others when they make you angry. There is no point being angry. It only saddens your mind. Do not get angry, or when you are cross at someone, try to look at that person in his or her own perspective. Why could he or she be so unpleasant? If you can see that it comes from his or her hardship or indigent background, then you can understand and pardon him or her instantaneously and automatically. You can pardon through your own wisdom, and this is just perfect. This brings about great merit. Any meritable deeds that consist of mindfulness and wisdom are considered great merits. On the other hand, any meritable deeds that are not accompanied by mindfulness are more likely minute ones. To observe the precepts, you have to pick the right amount that suits yourself. When you practice, if the master is not available to help you, then you have to hang on to the principle that you have learned and heard. Choose one object of consciousness as a home base, such as Putto, Tommo, Sonko, and keep chanting. If your mind wanders off and you forget Putto, Tommo, Sonko, just be aware that your mind wanders off. Putto, Tommo, Sonko, and your mind sinks, just be aware that your mind has sunk. This results in a stable and natural mind. If you keep practicing, your mind will possess strength, and whenever you practice, your mind will not wander off easily. Therefore, in the beginning, just practice safe meditation when you are alone. And when you can access your masters, as you can ask them for help. Then, it is a different story, but nowadays, it is quite worrisome, as you have no one to turn to. In conclusion, hold on to the principle. That's the safest fundamental. As for a true friend, you never really know who your true friend is. The only thing that you can count on is to consider the truth carefully in your heart and be ingenious in observing yourself. If you see a mental image, just consider and look back into your own mind. Never neglect your own mind, and you will not make a mistake. Everybody has defilements more or less. These are all that we have accumulated over time. We have pampered the defilements, so they have power. You have to keep knowing their tricks. Once you know, those defilements become powerless. You might suffer many setbacks today, but you have to keep practicing and never give up. One day, you will win this battle. When you fight in the battle, at first you are still not very strong, so you keep fighting with those minor defilements. Then you become stronger, and in the end you can destroy defilement that resides in the enlightened mind. That is the most difficult part. You'll see that the bandit leader is not anywhere far, but in your own mind. You have to fight from outside in. Fight from the roughest to the finest. Next, the homework review session.
Number 1. I use self as a home base to know when my mind wanders off. I can see quite often. However, I cannot meditate as my mind is powerless. Sometimes, it gains power and I can see myself breathing in and out through the three characteristics. I see that deep down I cannot accept the truth. I am worried that I will not reborn. Currently, I look after my aging mother who has cerebral atrophy with tinnitus, which causes her to be in resentment all day long. Sometimes she has wicked speeches. I am worried if she passes, she will be in a woeful state. Kindly advise.
When taking care of a sick person, you have to take care of your own mind as well. When you handle a sick person, look into whether he or she wants to be sick. No one wants to be sick. Our sick parents do not want to get sick, but as they grow old, their bodies cannot endure and they become unwell. See to it that this is normal. Everyone has to get sick at one point. The mind that is not well trained when the body becomes sick cannot accept it. When the body is sick, the mind becomes dejected. Just see that the body is sick and the mind is sad. Then look into self and see the truth that your mother is sick. One day, it will be your turn as well. And when that day comes, how do you wish your offspring or your caretaker to act with you? Just imagine that. Your mother is ill. Her mind has not been trained. Therefore, she is susceptible, acts worldly, and creates disturbance. If one day this happens to you, how do you wish your offspring to react with yourself? Your mother wishes the same way. Just put yourself in her shoes. If you can let go and understand that your mom wishes to have someone taking care of her, one day you would want the same thing, but you possess an advantage over your mom because your mind has been trained and so you are not careless. It takes time and dedication to train your mind. However, it only takes a very short time to deteriorate. Let me give you an example of the monks here. They all help each other to a forest and grow trees. This land used to be a cassava plantation. Arjan Ah has led the monks here to grow so many trees that the Department of Forestry has allocated more land on the other side to plant forest. I have those monks look at those trees and show them that it takes a long time for the tree to grow half a meter. Yet, it only takes a flash to destroy them. Sometimes the unwanted flora and weeds outgrow the trees, and so the workers unintentionally cut the tree as well. Then we have to start again. The mind as well takes time to develop. Nevertheless, it only takes a while to deteriorate. It is like taking years to grow a tree, but only take a blink of an eye to cut it. Therefore, do not be careless and carry out your duties at your best. Use your parents' sickness as a reminder. When your parents are sick, are they miserable? If they are, one day it may be your turn to be sick too. When they are sick, they do not have a spiritual anchor. But you do. Keep practicing. Do not incapacitate Dharma. You can lose anything but not Dharma. It is a great virtue that you take care of your parents. See this as one of the great lessons in life. When you were young, but your parents never complained. You wet your bed, you had the runs, you cried profusely, but your parents never opposed it. Now when it is your turn to take care of your parents, how come your mind does not accept the truth and complain? See through this scenario and put yourself in your parents' shoes. You then will know that your parents do not wish to be in this condition. It is the time that the elements cannot exist the way they were. When you see the body and the mind suffer, you see a lesson. And one day, your body may suffer, but your mind does not have to, as you have Dharma as an anchor. Student number 2. Good.
Number 2. I practice by knowing and seeing myself. There are times when my mind wanders off, or sometimes I tend to focus too much. When my mind wanders around for too long, or when I encounter an incident that causes so much anger, like while driving, I will then realize that these are just elements of the world. Then I will draw out and reflect until I understand the truth. This usually takes quite some time. Kindly give me your advice on how I can adjust to improve.
No need to adjust. Just practice more. What you are practicing right now is exactly right. Your mind is upright at its base and possesses the ability to grow wisdom. While you're driving, if anger arises and you become mindful, the anger will extinguish. Still, sometimes the defilement is so intense that it cannot be put out. Then you have to cogitate to help it. By helping it, the mind can be at peace. That is calmness meditation. However, if you can be mindful when anger arises, that is wisdom development. Whenever you can conquer using wisdom, then go for it. However, when you cannot, keep practicing mindful meditation, then practice calmness meditation. That is the right way. You cannot just be mindful all the time and neglect calmness meditation. That is not skilled. It is like when you do any kind of job. You need to have different tools to choose from so you can work with agility. Student number two, you are doing great. Very few people can practice to this point. So, never stop practicing. The finish line is not out of reach. No need to adjust anything, but keep practicing by seeing everything arising and extinguishing. Knowing that there is no self. Not just thinking.
Number 3. I practice by realizing my body inhaling and exhaling. The mind is the watcher. Whenever my mind holds still for a while, I will try to be conscious by smiling so I won't be stuck in concentrated meditation. I think my mindfulness and my samadhi are still weak, so I am not sure if I practice right or wrong. Please kindly advise.
What you are doing is good. There is nothing wrong. However, you need to practice more to keep developing. Right now, you are creating an image. Can you feel it? Your mind is not neutral at the moment. Can you see it? Just imagine your mind before you start practicing. Your mind moves and evolves naturally. So do not try to fabricate your mind to stay still like this. Let your mind evolve freely and be just mindful. Move out, step out and breathe. Breathe and feel yourself. Do not put your mind up tight the way you did before. That was not right. Just step out and breathe normally. Then your mind is the watcher seeing yourself breathe. Do not fabricate your mind and let it float in the air. Just see it. If the mind is peaceful, let it be. Do not fabricate it. This is the right point. Here your wisdom grows. No fabrication like before.
Number 4. I am always absent-minded during the day. Normally, I practice in the evening by walking meditation. I also meditate twice daily, before bedtime and when I wake up. Each session lasts 30 minutes. Every day, I feel different. Some days I can see my own thoughts. They are either detain, bright, clear or enlarged. Most of the time, they are not composed. Sometimes my mind even has a conclusion. I sometimes get stuck with watching my mind attentively. Kindly advise.
Do not neglect mindfulness. Be mindful when you breathe and when your mind sees the condition. Do not be absent-minded and do not forget oneself. Keep feeling your body. Feel your body sitting. Feel your body breathing. When you feel your body, notice that your mind adjusts itself a little. That is good. What you are doing right now is fabricating your mind into stillness. That is a waste of time. Just step back and see your body breathing, just like that. You have to be cautious here. The mind will easily scatter. When we first practice, the mind scatters. We keep on practicing, it will not scatter after all. However, if we are afraid it will be scattering, and we push it up into stillness, it seems like it does not scatter, but you cannot go on. It is a dead end. It is right at this point. Now your mind wanders off to think. Just know it. When you are in this position, no matter what your mind wanders into, you can see it. Your mind keeps moving and changing. When it attains enlightenment, it just happens by itself. Can you see that? Your mind wanders off, just know it. This is better than fabricating your mind to stay still.
Number 5. I practice by moving and knowing. Sometimes I move and I experience joy. So I keep practicing in daily life. I can see my thoughts separating and see my mind turns into different characters. I'm worried this will turn into a calmness meditation only. Please kindly advise.
No, it is not. You are not stuck in calmness meditation. Your mind sees the movement and the change. However, it still wanders off a lot. Hence, it is necessary to keep practicing in the same manner to see the change. Assign a home base for your mind, and when your mind wanders off, just know. When your mind keeps focusing too much, just know. Keep practicing and not giving up. Throughout the road to success, never lose track, which is having a home base for your mind, and when the mind wanders, just know. When the mind keeps focusing too much, just know. Otherwise, your mind will be powerless and keep being distracted. Your mind wanders off. You know that. Can you smile? Smile happily. Do you see yourself smiling? Can you nod? Do you see yourself nodding? Can you see with an ordinary mind? Your mind now is to tense. Practice with an ordinary, weightless mind. A mind with weight is not an ordinary mind. Student number 5, can you feel it? Your mind carries weight as you fabricate it. Therefore, have a home base, and when your mind wanders off, just know. When your mind keeps focusing too much, just know. Do not train your mind to stay still or to be good and smart. Do nothing but realize the behavior of your mind. See your mind in the moment without fabricating or interfering.
Number 6. Overall, I feel that I have made progress.
Correct.
I am more concentrated and possess the wisdom to see my mind operating in some moment. I am still sometimes a leak jar, but less than before.
Good.
I practice mainly by meditating. Please let me know if I understand correctly or not.
Let's go back to student number 5. What you are doing now is quite all right. What I've taught is for you to progress further, not to amend what you are doing. You have progressed so much. You just need to have a home base for your mind and keep knowing your mind so it can progress much more. Do not fabricate your mind to stay still. When you fabricate it, your mind will be heavy. Student number 6, you are quite okay. But currently you are dictating your mind a little. Can you feel that? Your mind has some weight. When it has some weight, just know. You are interfering with your mind now. Just know. Do not interfere and just know. Do not fabricate your mind to forget yourself. Just be mindful. If your mind will be collected, it will be by itself. It is not like when you forget yourself or feel enchanted. Just be mindful.
Number 7. I mainly practice walking meditation as I feel enchanted when I meditate. My home base is Puto, but my mind often wanders off. I realize I lack concentration, so I emphasize on knowing myself often. Overall, I think I have a better understanding of practicing, but am still confused if I am doing it correctly. Kindly advise.
Correct. As for your confusion, it is inevitable. Everyone can be confused, even the non-returners. You wonder whether what you practice is right. Sometimes you are confused. What to do? Nothing. Just be brave enough to know that you're confused. Confusion is a condition. It arises, is in existence, and then extinguishes. If confusion arises and you start seeking an answer, you've already fallen into deception. You've been tricked by a deceptive construct and illusion that leads your mind into overthinking. Therefore, no need to find the answer to your confusion. Just know. Your mind is not powerful enough. It is better, but still not powerful. Keep practicing, and it will be better. Student number one, you are much better than earlier. Can you feel it? Your mind is relieved now. Earlier it was drowning in anger, but now it has withdrawn.
Number 8. I practice sitting and walking meditation every day. I see my own thoughts arise and drift away all day. My mind drifts away less. I can see myself breathe. I often see my own nervousness, jealousy, and laziness. I deliberately want to practice and be good. I still keep focusing so much that sometimes my nose and my eye socket ache. Kindly advise.
What you have practiced so far are all correct. Whatever state your body and your mind are in, just know. Do not try to look for anything. Just be mindful and know your body and mind with an upright and neutral mind. Follow this keystone and you will be fine. What you have practiced has been great. This is not good. You are now fabricating your mind as a practitioner. Can you feel that? You are moving and holding your mind back. That creates some weight in your mind. Do not try to look for anything. Just be present and chant putto, putto. No need to seek anything. Your mind at this point is a good mind. Keep looking here for a while, and whenever your mind moves, you can see. However your body moves, you can also see. Your mind is upright as a knower without intention. If you intend to, and it will be heavy, then your mind is not a knower. So, do not fabricate your mind. See your mind the way it is. Student number 8. Always remember, do not fabricate your mind. Know your mind the way it is. You are doing it right. It is very fine at this stage, and you have practiced to this point. If you always know of a fabrication of your mind, then you will progress even further. Some people are good at practicing, but then the mind gets stuck in a state of mind. When the mind gets stuck in the state of mind, then it tries to amend it, which sometimes takes days. Actually, the way to fix this is so easy. If the mind gets stuck in the temper, do not touch it. Just leave it and restart. Well, that's all for today. The way to advance is to listen and then practice. If you don't practice, there is no advantage and no progress. If you keep practicing, your mind will be lifted up and you can see the progress. Can you see it? This is the way to go. If you have work to do, then do it and when it's done, and nothing necessary to do further, go back to yourself and practice. If your mind is distracted, always chaotic with this and that, then you will progress very slowly. There is a classification of Dharma, which consists of three factors that delay the progress of Dharma practice, including greediness, ego, and pride. These three factors decelerates the progress. Greediness, wanting to own this and that. Ego, wanting to stand out, wanting to be famous. Pride, wanting to give opinions. If you possess even one of these three factors, it is already bad. If you can do away with all three, therefore, the road to practice will be smooth. That's all for today. I teach 5 minutes over time.